And that was Holst's The Planet Suite, Mars. In 1918, there was the very first public performance of Gustav Holst's orchestral suite, The Planets, before an invited audience at the Queen's Hall in London. And who would have thought that a tour company formed in the same year would be still in business, and that some operators would be looking to take people from Earth into space, and maybe eventually to Mars. Dan Sullivan is CEO of Colette, that century-old tour company. Graham Camelo speaks to him about Colette's past and the future of travel.
I've got Dan Sullivan, who's the president and CEO of Colette. Colette is a large tour company. In fact, I think it's the oldest in the US. Am I right there, Dan?
We're the oldest tour operator in the US, 100 years this year, 1918, and we're third oldest, I believe, in the world. One of the, certainly up there.
Okay, and did you start with a Cobb and Co coach or something? What was your first tour like? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't remember, but no. Jack Collette came back from World War One to Rhode Island, and he advertised in the Boston and Providence newspapers and took a jitney to Florida with 14 guests.
A jitney? What's that?
$61.50.
What's a jitney?
Jitney is... it was a ride-sharing then, and it was a craze started in 1914 in the U.S., and by 1915, there were more, there were as many jitney rides in the United States, in Kansas City, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, as there are Uber rides today, because in 1914-15, you had to take the trolley, and it went from point A to point B, and you couldn't even, they were hanging off the trolley, there were so few seats. And yeah. It only went to points. So these jitneys, it was ride sharing. Paying jitney meant a nickel, and it took you to your home.
Wow. So there's nothing new in the world. Uber's not new at all.
And if you listen to a TED Talk on Uber, he'll say, here's where we get the idea.
Yeah.
Of course, Jack Collette was an innovator and said, I'm going to take a group to Florida.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely fascinating. So, what are the challenges that you've had over that period? And obviously, you don't know about all of it, but you've been in the business 40 odd years, I read. So
I've been in 40, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen it. You've seen a few things. What are the major sort of milestones that you would say, wow, we had to overcome that, or we had to work around this?
The major milestone, the major issues that have happened over the years have usually been peace in the world. You know, World War II disrupted the company for a few years, and of course the Depression, it kept going during 1929, the Depression before that, but much smaller, you know, and you know, but it survived and went through that, then World War II, and then it, of course you had the Iraq War and in the early 90s, and you had the 9/11 was a huge blow to travel industry globally, and especially in the United States, you know, and then we had the financial meltdown in 2009. So these things happen, but you know, Colette is debt free, and you know, we're a 4A Dun & Bradstreet rated company, so we were always able to survive, and you know, and make sure that our guests are taken care of.
So, but it's not the sort of thing you can advertise your way out of or slash and burn costs, is it? Major events.
You really have to stick. Right. No, you're right, Graham. You have to stick with your what you're known for and your brand, and you know, and it always comes back, and usually it comes back stronger.
Yeah, it's interesting. In our news today, we had a story from a company called Forward Keys. I think that's the correct. Forward Keys. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they track flight bookings over a period and then try to forecast what's going on. And they are talking about there does seem to be some reality to the Trump effect, which saw figures of inbound travel into America effectively dropping against the rest of the world. When the rest of the world was up 5%, America was down 1.4%. Are you noticing that? Maybe it's a different scale to a world war, but do you notice it, and can you do anything about it?
Well, your point's a good one that travel into the United States is down from not only from Australia, around the globe. And I think Australia is probably doing a little better than other places in Europe and things that I think they're down 3.5, to 5%, you know, traveling to the United States because of I think some of the perception. It's not certainly the people who feel that way, and when people come, they just like it's, you know, traveling to America, they love it, and there's no issue there. But you know, sometimes that's the perception, and I recognize politics sometimes get in the way.
Yeah. Look, no one's blaming him solely. I believe there have also been some issues with currency. You've been up against a pretty strong pound and a pretty strong euro, which effectively means it costs more to visit the US when they're strong. So are you able to hedge your expenses in that regard and therefore keep a level playing field?
We are. We buy futures and currency, so it really it helps us because Glenn has the financial resources, so we can buy low because, remember, our tours, we plan them 18 months out. So as long as the dollar's strong and we can buy, then we buy, and then the customers get the savings of by us buying. And that's same here in Australia. You know, we will buy when the Australian dollar's strong for our outbound travel to Australia because now you have a better rate.
Yeah. Okay. And so you must have dealt with millions of customers over that 100 years of Colette. Any idea of the numbers?
I actually don't. But yes, it is millions of customers since 1918. And I don't know. And some of the early tracking is not great as far as all the records and everything going back to 1918. But it's a lot. And it's grown dramatically in recent years. And, you know, and keep in mind, one of the reasons, say, the U.S. being that people travel in the U.S. is down. Well, we go to all seven continents, so people want to go to Vietnam with us, they want to go to Japan with us, they want to go to Finland or Iceland. Colette goes basically everywhere, and we innovate in areas like Iceland and Finland where, you know, we're kind of setting a leadership role and moving tours into those areas which have become red hot,
you know? Yes, I believe they have. Now, we reported recently on the show about the demise of something that was a bit of a rite of passage for young Australians. It was going on board Contiki and tours like that. That was basically like a hammock slung in a bus and you travelled around Europe and made mayhem, I think, was probably a short term for it. Has the style of travel that you've provided to your customers, has that changed much?
Over the years, it's changed. You know, customers demand more. Customers are more sophisticated. They can do a lot of research online. So we've been successful because of innovative product. You know, we have a huge product team that's on the ground. You know, wherever you go in the world, we have Colette product managers, product buyers on the ground, product designers on the ground. Actually, you know, we sell tours from the States and Canada and UK to Australia. And we were just in Adelaide at the AT show because our designer and buyer were here designing the tours and buying them because everywhere in the world, in order to really create a great product, we've got to find the best restaurants. And that may be different from one year to the next.
Yeah.
The best hotels, the best, you know, transportation, you know, so you create a unique experience and an immersive experience for your guests.
Now, the millennials have been blamed for an awful lot, and, you know, I'm the father of a couple of them. Do you think they are also a challenge to organizations like yours because they just seem to be in a different world sometimes as to what they want and what they will do, what they'll pay?
I think millennials actually are great travelers. They actually want more. They'll go into a debt to do that. I know this is, in general, most of the surveys I've seen, millennials are, even though they, you know, there's a lot of reports they want to switch from job to job, and that does happen sometimes, and you get that a little bit. But bottom line is they're good travelers, and they want, you know, they want, in general, this isn't as a generalization, they want good quality,
right?
And they'll pay for it. You know, they're not looking for, not that there's some, obviously you can't afford and they're going to go to things that are very reasonable, but they're going to take a trip that they really will buy a Colette type tour because they want that quality of meals, sightseeing, and they want to know the things are taken care of and they get things at a reasonable price, but good quality.
And Dan,
that's what we found.
Okay, that sounds good. You're obviously very much focused on traveling via land or ship or whatever. Do you reckon you'll ever get into the space business in terms of tourism?
Into what business?
Space, you know, going into space.
into space.
Hmm.
I don't see Colette going into space. I think, you know, Richard Branson and now Elon Musk. There's a number of
yeah.
So,
but you wouldn't sell seats on there too.
It hasn't gone that well for him, so I don't see us as. It's not on our radar because it's a lot of money,
yeah,
and it's a very small percentage you'll be able to buy that. Less than it's a fraction of 1%, you know,
right?
That could afford it.
So the future is just more of the same for you then?
No, I think the future is really getting into more immersive destinations and into more local cultures and the world's changing, you know, and so much, and there's so many great places like Rwanda's come on. Board now, but
right.
Finland as a destination's come on board. Iceland, you know, as a destination, even though it's been around for years, it's so much more immersive. And you know, one of the things we pride ourselves on at Colette is choice, where clients can choose to go to one thing. They can go on a bicycle ride, a Reykjavik, or they can do a walking tour of it. You know, and you know, you have so many clients who want different things.
Well,
and we want to personalize it for them.
That sounds great. Dan Sullivan, thank you so much for talking to us on Travel Writers Radio, and good luck at Colette.
Thank you so much, Graham. It was great talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's Graham Kemlow speaking with Colette CEO Dan Sullivan, celebrating 100 years in the travel business.
Hey, you know, I've got some more trivia for you.
Oh, what?
Well, in 1918, among the most popular songs were Hinky Dinky Parlez-Vous.
Right.
Right. That's Mademoiselle from Marmontaire, Parlez-Vous. How are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? And Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie Melody. That's by L. Jolson.
You said 1918?
Yeah.
Glad I wasn't born then.
No, they're classics, some of those. I don't remember when they came out, but I have heard them played on a pianola or something.
Hinky Dinky. Okay.
Mademoiselle from Armentieres.
Fair enough.
Parlez-vous. It's meant to be a French song to teach you French.
I figured.